Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey guys, it's another day, another dollar. The Pittsburgh Penguins are Stanley Cup champions for the fifth time and back to backs.
First team to go back to back.
And
in the while.
In the salary cap era, yes.
And dude, you know what's ridiculous though? I was reading the last. Since I forget what it was, maybe like 2010, no, 2009 maybe. The only three teams to win the Stanley Cup are the Penguins, the Blackhawks, and the Kings.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
That right?
That makes my brain hurt. So, yeah, hi guys. It's episode 95 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. It's Drew Paskey here. You just heard Jeff DeAngelis and Doyle say, oh, wow. We got a special episode for you tonight because although we are the Flyers / Dick Jokes podcast, we also have a very special guest calling in quite a few moments. The very wonderful Joe Bartnick will be calling in, host of the Puck Off podcast, Damn Comic, and also a huge Pittsburgh Penguins fan.
Took time out of his partying.
Yeah, he's been in Pittsburgh all day just enjoying the parade, but partying, but I feel like I wouldn't be partying as much if I was him because he's been there before. Oh, wait, I'm a piece of shit. Of course I'd be partying, but he's seen this plenty of times.
he saw it last year.
He's seen five cups in the last, in our lifetime, and he's older than us. He's seen five Stanley Cups.
He's been alive for all of Pittsburgh Stanley Cup wins.
Yeah,
and we're still.
We thought the Predators could pull it out for two
Stanley Cup losses.
Yeah,
it looked like the Predators might pull it out. You know, they had a lot of things going for them. They didn't do
it. We've been alive long enough to hear all the Penguins fans ask us or say to us 1975.
Yeah,
and then laugh.
Yeah. Really nice. It's also a really shitty band. I don't know. I'm sure Joe will be nice to us, but who knows? I just thought Nashville could have done it, but who knows? I mean, it's the Penguins. They won. Got to give congrats to Joe. And all the other Penguins fans, and of course the Penguins team for coming out of nowhere after I didn't give them a shadow of a doubt.
There were a lot of injuries on that team this year, and I'm surprised that they went as far as they
did. We'll get to that later, but I want to do a quick little tidbit before we get started. I think Joe's going to call in a couple minutes. Scott Hartnell, you were talking about before the mics
fart smell.
So what's the deal with this whole Scott Hartnell, former Flyer, number 19, former scumbag, glove thrower, first line scorer extraordinaire.
The Blue Jackets don't really know what to do with him. And they didn't ask him to waive his no-movement clause.
Do they need a doorstop?
So now they have to worry about protection spots and trades. And I'm just glad that this is not the Flyers' problem.
He's not. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2020.
Oh,
so
2020.
Two years left.
Oh, my goodness.
Of a 4.75.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hextall. Glad I called that guy.
Last summer, Hextall buys out Umberger. This summer, he uses open cap space to sign Ghost, sets the Flyers up pretty well for protection spots. And meanwhile, Columbus is like, I hate you, Scott Hartnell. Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, that could have been us if we didn't make that trade.
But everyone at the time was like, oh my God, Scott Hartnell is like 20 goals. We could never replace that kind of talent.
We still haven't.
We haven't. But,
yeah, but we don't need it.
But we're in a lot better position.
Remember we used to have 7 or 8 20-goal scores? We had like 5 25-goal scores? Those were the days of our lives.
Yeah, that was.
Cap-wise, do you want to pay Ghost or do you want to pay Scott
Ghost? Ray!
Son of a bitch. All I'm saying is the Hartnell Frumberger trade was good, and anybody who is wrong is stupid. Or anybody who says it wasn't is wrong and is
like
stupid.
Zoinks,
if anybody... If anybody thought that was
Drew.
God damn it. If anybody thought that was like anything more than
a
money
dump.
Move, then you're
They all liked Scott Hartnell.
Yeah,
and
I liked
down
Scott Hartnell too. He was pretty good, but
and
guess
bingo,
what?
Bingo, bango, China Parveen.
No, also like eating 3 bacon pizzas, but I know it's not always good for me. In the long run, I'll be better off without
That's true.
It. So I eat one slice of it.
Sometimes love hurts.
Mm. And so do bacon pizza farts.
It's true.
Love hurts.
Oh, anyway, actually,
Joe's... Love stings.
God damn it. It'd be great if I answer the phone now. Joe's calling in, so let me hit this button and hope it works. We've got Joe Bartnick on the phone right now, host of the Puck Off podcast, stand-up comedian. You know you've seen him around and heard of him. And we got Joe on the line from Pittsburgh, I believe. So, Joe, welcome to the Broad Street Bully podcast again, this time from the phone. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. I was just at the Stanley Cup parade today. It was good stuff. Number 2, back-to-backs.
I know, right? That's ridiculous.
Be nice.
Yeah. Last we talked, Joe, I called into your show. You were talking about, the Flyers should make a move because they won these 10 games in a row and they can make the playoffs. And We didn't know the Penguins were looking because all the injuries, and here you guys are with back-to-back cups, man.
Yeah, it was not to rub salt in the wound, but it was like wasn't the first time that someone ever went 10 in a row and didn't make the playoffs. I thought you guys were going to make the play. I mean, you guys had it going on there for a while. I don't know what's, you know, are we going to talk about the greatness of the Pittsburgh Penguins, or are we going to dissect the Flyers?
No, I mean, we could. I was hoping we would try to avoid our downfall as much as possible. I'm just pointing out how the difference of last time we talked.
Okay, man, but, sure. I mean, well, you know, if you want to trade us Simmons, that's cool. We'll take Simmons. If Simmons is a problem, when I'll give him, like I said with Hartnell before he was an old man, I said, I'll give him a piggyback. I'll give Wayne Simmons a piggyback ride across the turnpike if he wants to come over. Number three.
We already gave you Mark Streit, okay? You got more than enough from us.
Yeah, you got our
indirect trade.
One of our top defensemen.
I was sad that Gino gave him the cup. I wanted Streit to wait till the very end. You know, I actually thought that was Armageddon. I thought if Streit dresses, it's over. You talk about a championship team overcoming adversity. Mark Streit played a couple games. I mean, that's the first adversity you can get.
It was a classy move to give it to Hainsey first.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, too.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. Jeff is just a little bit fuzzy.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, it was a classy move to give it to Hainsey first, the guy who never played in a playoff game gets to skate the cup around the first time he makes it.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you the truth, Hainsey was great. I mean, he had, you know, everyone except maybe Dumoulin and maybe Cole had their shaky moments, but as a unit, you know, either their partner picked them up or the goaltender picked them up, and, you know, they just played fantastic. I thought they could get past Columbus without Letang, because if you listen to Puck Up or read any of my columns, I'm not the biggest Chris Letang. He played great last year, but I've always been on the fence with Letang. So, you know, I thought they could do it without him, but thinking they could do it and them actually doing it are two different things. So, I mean, Tapasic and really Jacques Martin, the defense coach, the fact that they all split the minutes pretty much evenly, just a miraculous job by Martin, you know, really this postseason. He deserves a tap of the stick as well.
Yeah, man, I'm not going to lie. I mean, obviously, as a Flyers fan, I didn't think the Penguins had it in them this year. I mean, I know they're a good team. I know you have Crosby, you have Malkin. And I didn't pick them. You saw me at the beginning of the year if you listened to our show before. I didn't see them going far. I thought they were too injured and too banged up, but it seems like that defense, like you said, were able to hold the game within reach and let their best players and some new players like Gensel and other guys really step up in big ways. They found ways to win games with Murray, with Fleury. It didn't really matter. Even when they had a really poor showing or Nashville seemed to be dominating the game or other teams like the Caps seemed to have the ice tilted, the Pens still found a way to win. I guess it happens when you have really good players and able to come together as a team like that. I really thought they were toast, man.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple times, and they really looked out of gas. Definitely the extra day off in the finals a couple times really helped their defense core and kind of helped. You know, Hagelin was kind of banged. He was broken leg. He came back, and he got his wheels. Horney's always banged up. He got his wheels. Cooney's an old man. He got his wheels. Cullen got his wheels. You know, both those guys are just, you know, ancient hockey standards, but, you know, pure winners with four cups and three cups. But this, like last year, you know, Rust was banged up in the middle of the playoffs, but he came back and really added the spark. Rusty's my boy. But I'll tell you, this year, really, last year there's HBK, there was a million heroes, there was Letang. This year was really the goaltending, Jake the Snake as a rookie, but really Sid and Gino this year really willed the team to win this year. It was really those guys. Those two guys this year were really what, like, the superstars, what the Hall of Fame, what here's the best players in the world. You can't. They really did it this year. It was really those two guys this year.
And you could tell, like, there were times when Crosby scored, and it wasn't really a celebration. It was just like, he acknowledged that they scored, and like, let's get back to business. And like, when Crosby has that killer look in his eyes, it's not good for anybody on the other team.
No, and you know what's really funny too is, you know, like, I mean, I am a big PK Subban guy. I think he got right out of Montreal. Little racism, a little bit too much showboating on the ice. And I'm a big fan of his. But I'll tell you, he did the dumbest thing you could ever do. He pissed off Sid and he poked the Russian bear. That's the last two things you want to do. And what happened after all that? Like, they didn't score again. I mean, I don't know what got him. I mean, you guys know. I mean, you know, because Gino can go around and he can get his points and he can, you know, he can be a superstar. But then there's, like, pissed off Gino. And that's just a whole nother level. And really, they got pissed off Gino for, like, five games after that. And then he messed with Sid. And you know what? It was a distraction to that team. And his teammates, even the manager, said, cut it out. It's like, he should have concentrated on hockey and not trying to do a sketch show.
Yeah,
I don't know what he was doing.
They were saying after the whole Listerine fallout that, like, Subban's media time was cut significantly and, like, he was not made available to anybody.
And he didn't play extremely – like, he wasn't – you know, he didn't play extremely well after that either. You know, I don't know. I'm a big Subban guy. You know, what I think one of the key things in the series was they figured out how to dump the puck, either carry it in or dump the puck in a way where Rene couldn't play it as well, either really hard around or in soft spots and chase it. And when Rene's not playing the puck, that means their defensemen have to go back and play the puck. That let Cooney and Horney and Rowney, those guys laying some lumber, laying some wood, and then so there's four guys, they're running the same four forever, they're getting tired, and then they're not jumping the offense as much, and they need those defensemen to spark their offense. So it really, that was you can tell by game four, they kind of figured that out. That was pretty much the turning point in the series, because before that, you know, I mean, let's face it, the Pens just used their firepower to steal two games in Pittsburgh they didn't play particularly well with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your point about Rene is spot on. He had a couple of costly turnovers this time that didn't always lead to a goal, but led to usually a scoring chance or a near miss that could have easily been another goal the other way. And I thought, I really thought that the Preds had a lot of great chances to really win a couple of those games or get back in the game, especially in the game six. I mean, that was a great game six for not being a high-scoring game. I really thought it could have been anyone's at one point. So what do you think about the Preds, though, man? I'm not asking to, like, you know, step off the Penguins for a second, but what do you actually feel about the Preds? I know you're a big hockey guy, so, I mean, I think you got to love an expansion team like that coming together and going on a run.
Yeah, you know, I'm always been a big Roman Josi fan. I love their top four defensemen. Obviously, losing Johansson at the beginning of that series, you know, was really crushing, because even if they had him, the Penguins had the advantage down the middle. So without him, it was a real chore for them. I don't know if not having Johansson was a big deal, but I was really disappointed. I mean, Phil Forsberg had a chance to really leave that series a superstar, and he really didn't do anything in that series. And so he was disappointing at that level. They definitely missed Fiala. They could have used him. I thought Laviolette, when he kind of went quick and didn't play McLeod and Fiddler on the roof, I thought no one intimidated. The last team to intimidate the Penguins, not intimidating, but to get them off their game, was your Flyers. Because that hatred just runs so deep, they just can't get past that. But every other team that tries to run them out of the building, it's like, you know, you don't intimidate Sid and Gino. Like, you can hit them, you can get them tired, but you don't. But it wasn't about intimidation. I think it was just about those defensemen were tired. And they kind of went with, you know, Harry's owner, Chuck. He couldn't knock
Z.
over my daughter. She's 13. You know what I mean? So
Harry Z.
Why you put him in instead of leave McLeod? You know, but, you know, I love Laviolette. Yeah, I mean, they're a team on the rise. They're also a team that, let's face it, they weren't a 16 seed. This year, you know, it took him a while to get Subban in the fold, and then he was injured. And Rene is like Rene. He's either brilliant or a mess. So he was a mess the first half of the year. So really, you know, they were much better. They were the second-best team in the Central. That's what I picked in preseason. And that's really what, you know, I mean, they really are. And they smoked Chicago. I mean, Chicago didn't know what hit them. And I'll tell you, as being a Penguins fan, I've seen teams that go in with, like, you know, the Hall of Fame on paper and then wonder what happened. And that's exactly what happened in Chicago. They thought it was going to be like playing Vancouver in October. You know, and all of a sudden they're down 3-0. You know, it was like, what happened? So, I give full credit to the National Predators. And, the other thing I don't like about their team, and honestly, is, you know, is James Neal wears a letter. And he's always, you know, a banana peel away from taking a stupid penalty.
Oh, yeah, we know that very well.
Daylight saving time, James Neal. As soon as you turn the clock ahead, he's not going to score. I mean, he did score a couple this year, but, you know, not in the final.
I thought he couldn't hit the net in the final. He kept hitting, like, the glass.
No, it's never when they need him, you know. I mean, it's never when you need him.
He can score an empty netter, though, I heard. He's pretty good at that. And taking headshots.
Yeah, he's really hitting people when they're down. He gets, that's why I love, you know, Gino was the first guy, the last guy to lead the league in penalty minutes, or for the playoffs, penalty minutes and scoring was Rocket Richard. And those were real penalty minutes too, you know. Those were Lindros Tocchet penalty minutes. Those weren't Pat Verbeek slashing a guy as he's skating away in the back of the skate penalty minutes. and that's always a James Neal penalty minutes are always either like cheap shots or just that slash in the back of the leg. You know, never like, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, there's a punch to the face, we're both, you know, we're skating for a side. You know, those are real penalty minutes.
Yeah, the old hairy chested hockey players were men, none of this little sissy soccer stuff, right? I feel you on that, Joe.
Exactly.
Have a question about, I mean, this is a question I hope to answer one day. I hope one day you call me and Jeff and Doyle and you ask us this, but what's the difference between winning it last year and this year? Like, how do you feel as a fan and also as a hockey, like, I mean, I would say you're a hockey journalist. I mean, comedian first, hockey journalist second, for sure. You write and you talk on your show, but what's the difference? Is there a difference between the two feelings in the cup and also like as a fan and also as a professional who covers the team?
I really, because I have so much respect for the guys that grind it out every day on the beach and that cover these guys. I fly in and out and just, you know, I'm pseudo hockey journalism, and thank you for the compliment to think what I do is journalism or whatever you want to contemplate. So that's what, but as just a fan, just this year, the difference was, I just think they overcame so much this year. Like last year, as soon as they got it going, it was like we thought the Penguins were the best team, and they played great, and then they won. But this year, there was just times when they just looked dead on the ice, and they looked literally when Niskanen like took off Crosby's head. That was, you know, you think, oh my God, Sid's done. Then they win. Gino plays like, you know, Superman in game four against the Capitals without him. And then they still come back in the Capitals. And it's like, you know, that's a game seven. The Flower wins 1-0, you know, Guy Boucher with the villain scar on his face.
Looks like a horse kicked him.
Trap, which like bores everyone to tears. You know, it's like, oh my, I mean, you guys remember that in Philly. Remember Philly where he said, through this, we're not even going to move the puck. Come get it. Remember that about 5 years ago?
Yeah, Pronger. Pronger just sat
so,
there and was
you know,
like,
I mean, then
me.
You think, so how are you going to beat that? And then they did. And I think they just overcame so much this year that it just seemed, I'm not going to say it was more sweet because they're all just delicious, but it just seemed like it was going to happen this year. And kind of like the way they came together and kind of just the way, you know, I mean, I know Larry Brooks gave Sid, and I think there's actually a big glowing review. And I know like in Philly, I think the paper said, okay, it's time to just give Sid his due. I think you saw the national media, all the haters are kind of giving Sid his due and kind of the way Flower got to kind of get some redemption. And there's just way more feel good stories this year than kind of just winning, if that makes any sense.
Right. So do you think in your mind as a lifelong Penguins fan, does the duo of Crosby and Malkin jump Lemieux and Yager now?
Well, here's the thing with that. No matter what, Sid could win 9 more championships, and he's never going to pass Lemieux. Lemieux is Jesus Christ.
You mean the Jews killed him? No, I'm
sorry. I mean, Lemieux saved the team at least twice, and his play, like before, like 91, 92, before the back really went out in the cancer. You guys might be too young.
No, I remember.
He was just the greatest hockey player ever. I mean, just he could do everything. He was just so. If you remember that, it was just. It's like he was Hendrix on guitar. It's just another and then the fact that he owns the team and he's so classy and he, you know, not to jump subject, but here's how great he is in Pittsburgh. Like he is Like, the 70 Steelers are like, you know, that's religion, that's the Catholic Church. But, like, Lemieux himself is bigger than that in Pittsburgh. I mean, he's done more than Andrew Carnegie. He's built cancer hospitals and given the chair. Like, no one's ever bigger than Lemieux. But if you're asking what era is better, it's Sid and Gino era is better.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. You have more memorable teams.
It's three cups, and the disappointment when they choked against the Islanders, it still stings. It was funny when they interviewed Lemieux and then they interviewed Jay Caulfield, who's a great color guy, and he was on the Ice Team because he's friends with Aaron, he's on the Ice Team, and they both brought up how 93 still stings. Like, they're on the ice celebrating a cup. Lemieux as an owner. Some of you, yeah, these guys got it done. You know, we had our chance, and I can't do it with you, but, you know, he said it still stings. So, you know, they've never had, I mean, because losing to Detroit in the finals, it was like, well, Detroit's awesome, but they lost to, you know, they lost to the right stuff. In the island, you know, it was a disgrace, you know. So I definitely think this era is, it built upon a foundation that Lemieux and Yags put together that is just, you know, I mean, you can't, I don't know, this, I think this is a better era, to be honest.
So moving into the off season, do you think that Marc-Andre Fleury will still be on the Penguins?
And this is coming from a guy who last year on our show said, don't get rid of Fleury. He's still, Flowers, good goalie. We got to keep him. And look, he got them to where they need to be, and Murray took them the rest of the way.
I'm sorry. I thought I was on record saying that we need to keep both goaltenders all year.
Yeah, you did. That's what I'm saying.
Most
you said
places
we keep
I said
Fleury.
That. Oh, okay.
Everyone was saying
no,
get rid of him.
I said that, and I believe that. And
yeah, paid
I think
off.
That was the saddest thing about Murray losing his job in the middle of the Ottawa series was then you knew that this whole utopia of having them both again was not going to happen. And breaking news is Murray waived his no movement clause, and it looks like he's going to Vegas to be their ambassador of hockey and bring his three cups and, you know, go sign autographs in the Caesars Mall, you know.
That's not a bad life, though, after you win
Saturday
it
for you. No.
Do you
no,
do you,
yeah, no, I'm Flowers gonna go.
So he waived his no trade clause, but is he up after this year, like, or is he just gonna be made eligible so Vegas could pick him if they wanted to?
This is fact. He removed his no movement clause before the deadline and told Rutherford that he will let himself be made available for Vegas.
Okay.
So that way he knew that he would stay with the team through the end of the cup run, not worry about the deadline, and then be available for Vegas. If Vegas does not pick him, then I do not know what happens. But he is saying, I am willing to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smart choice for Vegas because they really don't have any other options. I mean, real big, like, options to pick from.
Well, I disagree with that in one respect. Was I was thinking that before Fleury just looked amazing in the two playoff series that he won. I mean, he was good against, he was very good against Columbus. He was ridiculous against the Capitals. I thought his salary was a little high, maybe. And I would have taken Antti Raanta, and I still think they're gonna take Fleury and Raanta because Raanta is still so young and he's so cheap.
Yeah.
And I've been on record as saying, and I know they won't do it. I know they won't do it. But I would literally, if I was in New York, I don't have the balls to do it, and I probably wouldn't if I was the GM. I would expose him. Hank, if the lists weren't made public where it would be an embarrassment, I would expose Hank. They're not going to tank Hank, but they will take Raanta. I think Raanta is number one on most people's boards about who the best deal at goalie is. He outplayed Lundqvist this whole season.
You just upset a lot of Flyers fans by saying they were going to take Raanta and
not Neuwirth.
Yeah, not Neuwirth.
And the Flyers beats are like saying there's like a Illuminati behind the scene deal that's non-spoken bullshit they've been saying on the Twitter. And
no, there's no way they're taking Neuwirth.
That's what I've been
Why
saying
Why would you
too.
Want Neuwirth?
Yeah, besides a very manageable cap hit, there's really no reason you would want a guy who can't play a full season.
You get 20 good games out of him, though. It's good
exactly.
enough for a quarter of the year. It's fine. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't know who the Flyers going 7-3 or are they going 4-4?
I think they might go 7-3.
Yeah, a lot of the younger talent they don't have to worry about protecting. So like, if they do, I think it's like the 7 forwards.
Yeah, all the defensemen are young, so they don't have to protect any of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so So they have like a Neuwirth, and then they'll probably protect two or three defensemen, and then the rest are forwards.
It'll be Gudis. They'll protect what's his name? I haven't said his name in forever. They'll protect Gudis. Probably not Manning, obviously.
Maybe Manning if they need to, or if Ghost is eligible. I don't know if Ghost, because he's played two seasons, but not two full seasons. So
yeah, it'll come down to that. And then
Well, they just gave the Ghost a big contract, I think. I actually saw a report that Mason's days are numbered there.
He's gone.
Yeah, it just hit today that his agent said that he has the feeling that he's going to leave.
Yeah, they've been saying that for a while, though. It's been speculated.
But why don't you guys? I think Mason's better than Neuwirth.
Oh, he is.
Now,
absolutely.
I don't watch every game that you guys do.
He's better. The problem is, the Flyers have so many goalies jammed up in the minors right now, especially Carter Hart. So, and like Steve Mason, what the rumors are, nothing's been confirmed, but Steve Mason's looking for like a 4-5-6 year deal for money, and Hextall doesn't want to get stuck having Mason if these Carter Harts in the junior leagues can come up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think the going with Mason over, or going with Neuwirth over Mason was super unpopular, but I mean, cap wise and stuff, Hextall's looking not to hamstring himself again. So.
Yeah, Joe. What about your team? What are you guys going to be protecting? Because you guys got a lot of, like, I think, players in the middle of the road that are eligible to be picked. And, you know, some young guys too. Like, what are you guys thinking about protecting there? Because you guys got a lot. I mean, obviously, a lot of talent. You just won two cups.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because I think the goal is for them to take Fleury, and then we don't have to worry about anybody else. I think that's the whole trick. Now, if they don't do that, I am not up to date on who they have to protect, because I think here's another thing that isn't popular and it gets me run out of town is I would expose Letang, because I think Letang with a broken neck and a stroke at 8.5 million, I would dare Vegas to take him, because they just proved they don't need Letang to win the cup.
They
literally just proved that. But they won't do that. They just won't do that. So they'll protect him. I'm sure they'll protect Dumoulin. They have to re-sign Schultz. So he's a unrestricted free agent, but he's going to go for big money. So they may lose him. But I think they're going to pay him, especially since who knows where it's up with Letang.
I would keep Cole
over Mata. And I'm not anti-Mata, but those are the four I would keep if they can re-sign Schultz.
I just looked at
go ahead.
Letang has a no movement clause, so he is stuck. He would have had to waive by now.
Yeah. Okay. So you're absolutely correct on that too. Now the forward, I know that your old buddy, my new buddy, man I love, Rick Tocchet, he's probably going to move to Buffalo.
as the head coach.
Jump on that sinking ship.
Yeah.
So, and apparently he's the only one that can control Phil Kessel, because him and Sullivan, Kessel and Sullivan don't see eye to eye. But Tocchet's like the intermediate. Now, there are probably, I don't know what Kessel has, no movement or not, but, you know, that's another thing. But you can't expose Kessel just because you can't. The lists are out now. You know what I mean? So, or I would think they would dare Vegas to take Kessel. But if they don't take Fleury, I think they're going to lose Hagelin.
Yeah, Hagelin's a good player.
Yeah, it's a loss, but not too bad. Because, I mean, the Penguins just have this, what seems like an unlimited string of youth coming up from the AHL.
Yeah, it's crap.
You know, I'll tell you they do, but, you know, the last couple games when Hagelin had a couple days, he was scratched a couple times. He got his broken leg healed. Did you see the Jets he put on as sort of an empty net goal?
Oh, he's so fast.
And now Hag's got, you know, Hags is loved. He's got two, I don't know. Basically, if they keep four, obviously Sid, Gino, Hornquist, and, you know, my thing is, I don't know if Rust needs to be protected. Because if Rust needs to be protected, like I said before, Rust is my boy.
Last year was his rookie season,
I think. It's
two full seasons they've played. So if he was in the league last year, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think he is now eligible to be picked.
He came up mid-season.
So it's like a weird ghost thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what mid-season means. And I'm going to have to definitely learn it before I do my puck off expansion draft show.
Yeah, we'll be doing that next week.
I'll be having these conversations. Well, I don't know, Frage. I think so. But Rust is, they're all in the same boat, Rust and Sheary, you know. Now, if I had to pick between Rust and Sheary, I pick Rust.
What about Bonino?
So, well, Bonino's an unrestricted free agent, and Bonino is going to probably outprice himself out of Pittsburgh. Someone is going to look at Bonino and way overpay him.
Like an Andrew Lack.
And not way overpay him because I don't think he's – oh, well, I don't think anyone can be that stupid again. I mean, Andrew Lack. What? I mean, that was ridiculously stupid. He didn't do anything for Chicago, and then the Islanders went – you know, he actually – did well for the Islanders down the stretch, but I was so mad about that because I'm a big Tavares guy, and I watched Okposo leave. I watched Matt Martin leave, and they got that bum. You know, I don't know. I'm not an Andrew Lack guy. No, I'll tell you who should go after Bonino is the Washington Cap. I think the Washington Cap should go after Bonino. I'm sure you guys hear about everyone's thinking they're trying to Ovechkin this, Ovechkin that. If I was the Capitals, I would look to move Nick Backstrom or Kunetsov and find some Canadian farm boy that might want to show up in May and win a faceoff and go into a corner.
Yeah,
and win a playoff round.
I think I'd rather trade
and not playing everything on Ovechkin.
I think I'd rather trade Kuznetsov over Backstrom.
Yeah,
I think his value is higher.
I would too, but Kuznetsov actually had a pretty good postseason, and he's a lot younger. And I think you might be able to get a lot. Then you move Kuznetsov to the number one line, and then you get maybe like the number two center. Here's the thing: like if you want Nick Bonino, if you're a good team and you want Bonino to come in and be, you know, 2-time Stanley Cup winner, blood and guts, Nick Bonino. You know, third line guy, he's perfect for that. If you're going to overpay him and expect him to be your number two center, I don't think that's a smart move.
I think so many teams do that sometimes. They won a cup, so that's what we need.
Well, look what Carolina did. Well, Carolina did it with Jordan Staal. Jordan Staal is a beast number three center, and he's a slow prodding number two center.
Yeah, that's Sean Couturier in a nutshell.
You got to know your role. You know?
Yeah, man, absolutely, dude. I don't know. I'm really excited for this expansion draft. I mean, obviously, the whole Flyers world is just hoping Las Vegas has somehow, like, their exec has, like, naked pictures owned by Hextall, and they take McDonald from us or something. We know it's not going to happen. So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it, though. We're going to be doing a show next week. You guys doing a show next week for that as well, you said, to cover it?
Oh, yeah, we do. We go all summer long. We do summer programming. And this year, I'm going to have a special edition. Do you know how Gino was you know, criminally left off the top 100 list of all time, but somehow Adam Oates is on the list? I'm gonna do a list of a hundred players not on the top 100 list that are better than Adam Oates.
That's a good one. I mean, he did win faceoffs. Got to give him that. We did trade for him from a playoff run that sucked back in the day. I remember that as a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's good, man. I know you guys do your show in the summer too. We do as well, and other local Philly podcasts are picking up on the fact we go all summer. Just saying, if I can throw a little prod out there.
Yeah, it really helps out. It really helps out your podcast. Just people, I mean, you know, especially in Philly and all the big towns, and the hockey fans are hockey fanatics. People want to hear about baseball now. They want to hear what the free agents are in hockey. That's what people want to know.
Yeah, and also how my last Tinder date was and everything else we talk about in the summer. We go all stupid and shit, but people like it. You know, it's all that matters, right? It's all good, man. But anyway, Joe, you got anything else for us tonight? I wanted to plug anything you have coming up and everything. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Always good to talk to you, man. I can't wait to come back to Philly.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I love Philly, man. It's a great city, and I get some great fans there and great people. And I can't wait to come back, man. Anytime you want to need me, let me know, and we'll have you back on podcast. I've been on the East Coast for so long, our technology, we can't have two phones at once. So when I get back in the West Coast, we'll have you guys on next week.
Yeah, man, you got a lot of July dates coming up. You're doing with Rich Voss, The Punchline, this July, and also you're by yourself headlining there. And also, I see you're going to be jumping around Canada a bit this summer and doing a couple dates at Absolute Comedy in Toronto, Kingston, Ottawa. We have a couple friends from Canada, so that's July 11th through 15th.
Oh, yeah,
in Toronto.
Tell them to come out. I'm looking for all the Senator fans to attack me.
we have our one buddy, Mike Bond, over at the Scuttlepuck Podcast, which is a great hockey podcast. He's an Oilers fan, but he doesn't live in Edmonton. I forget exactly where he lives.
He lives right outside Belleville.
Wherever the hell that is, sure.
Yeah, because they're getting a minor league team, so that's how I remember.
Yeah. So I don't know, but yeah, hopefully you guys go check out Joe. He's very funny. I saw him last summer at with Bobby Kelly at the Punchline. It was awesome. And yeah, man, you got a great podcast. You love hockey. Go check it out. And as always, make sure, you know, give him a follow on Twitter and all that stuff, you know. Help the man out. He's a working comic, man. He's a good guy. And Joe, you got anything else for us, man?
No. I had a blast. Come on. You guys, people are like, you're doing the Rossi Boys. I'm like, yeah, these guys are great, man. They're my friends.
It's all love, man. It's all hockey. Having fun.
All right, man. Awesome, dude. Well, we'll
come
share.
Come on next year when you win 10. You know, next year we're going to have you on when the Flyers win 11 in a row.
Yeah, we'll make the playoffs and get swept. Who knows? But we'll have a bottle of bourbon.
No,
let's say
this. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with Giroux? What is it? You guys still all in on Giroux?
I think we have to be. He's a catalyst to our team, and if you put some better talent around him, he'll be able to get us to the a little further than we have been recently. So that's all I can really say about it right now. I got to see what the management can do. He doesn't really have many. Need a score around him, I think, we've been talking about.
All right. Well, I think that's why I was wondering about Mason, because I'm like, I think you guys are one guy away, and maybe, Claude gets an attitude adjustment away from doing some things. You know what I mean? Like, I think you guys are pretty close to being right there. You know, it's a very fine line.
Yeah, he played hurt a lot this year, too, so we're hoping to see him a full offseason of work, because he didn't get a full offseason last year like he usually does. He's a pretty hard worker off the ice, allegedly, after working with Jágr, so hopefully that trickles down to next season. But we'll see, man. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it anyway. I don't feel like watching the Phillies that much, and I want to watch the Eagles and Flyers. You know, I don't want to watch baseball.
Yeah, baseball's a pastime. It's not a blood sport.
Yeah,
it's a pastime.
Exactly. All right, buddy. Well, Joe, thanks again for calling in, man, and we'll definitely talk soon, and enjoy the win and all that stuff, and I guess congrats to you and the Pens.
Oh, thank you guys so much, and have a great summer. We'll talk to you coming up in the next season.
All right, Joe. Catch you later, man.
Thanks, Joe.
And there he goes, everybody. Joe Bartnick on there. So thanks again. Make sure you check out Puck Off Podcast and everything of that nature that he is on. So
at Joe Bartnick, joebartnick.com.
Yeah, of course.
All the sorts. Check out his links and dates.
He has like hockey columns and everything. So did we talk enough about the Penguins today, you think? Did we cover it?
Listen, I'm just glad that he didn't rub it in our face too much.
He's too much of a nice guy to really rub it in our face too much. But we just talked about the Penguins for way longer. And I'm just kidding. It was fine. having Joe on the show was a treat. So
well, I mean, the season's over, so what's there left to talk about, you know?
Titty! No, I'm just kidding. It instantly just derails. You know, the line. Dude, Dad's not home. Let's fuck around.
That was a lot of hockey talk. Well, I had to stop my poop, or I had to stop my shower to take a poop.
So this is where we are. This is the end of the season, guys.
It's over.
This is it. We're done. We're done for up here.
Another unfavorable outcome for us.
Yeah.
I really thought the Preds could have done it, man. I really did.
After that, they won two in a row. The series was 2-2. Yeah. All the momentum was in their power. And then Rene just kind of took shit.
He still hasn't beat.
Game five.
He still hasn't beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And like, I watched the first two games, didn't watch the next two games, watched 5 minutes of game five. And then turned off the rest of the playoffs, hoping that I could.
Yeah, you were really fucking
hoping I could bring the juju back.
You're mucking up the works and bringing on the energy over there, and you really thought you could have a chance there. But Jeff kept watching.
It sucks that they lost. But one of the things you saw was like, I mean, Batman. That's the Las Vegas new mascot. Batman. He probably creamed his pants because it's that much of a raucous crowd in an expansion city.
Of course he is. Like, finally, it pays off in the end. 20-year mortgage.
And everyone's like, Arizona, like, it's that loud, but it's crickets. And he's like, shut up.
It's coyotes outside, not actual fans. Because they're in the desert. Get it.
So it's cool to see, like, maybe Arizona will be the only team that needs to benefit from that profit sharing in the CBA.
Yeah, who knows? I hope we don't have another lockout on our hands. Oops, that's going to happen.
Well, so Ghost did it with his contract, and a lot of players are doing it now. The new projected lockout year, the players are, it's like a dip in actual paid salary that year.
Okay, so basically.
They're basically expecting a lockout, so they're trying to get all their money in other years.
Yep, they're going to lock out the year that our team is supposed to be in its stride.
And then Giroux's peak will hit right when they're not playing.
And that's all she wrote.
There's a lot of Fogelberg playing that year, I can tell you that much. We're going to have a shit show.
God.
We're going to have a summer series into like a couple weeks of hockey. Oh, no, they're not playing. Oh,
we'll just all become Golden Knights fans.
We might as well just change the name of the podcast.
Golden Kniggets. I la fought in general direction. Anyway. So other news this today. We talked about with Fleury waiving his no trade clause. Any other pertinent hockey news around the NHL? I know we talked about a little bit before the show, but for the fans listening who don't get the privilege of knowing us in real life, you fucking losers. Jeff.
Dion Phaneuf refused to waive his no movement clause or no trade clause, so now the Senators are stuck with him.
He could have hit the broadside of a barn. He would have so many open shots, like Bobby Ryan would feed him, or
right.
What's his name? The other guy that the fucking stud over.
Eric Carlson.
Eric Carlson. Yeah, he would just give him a nice little cross ice pass in the power play, and Phaneuf would be like, "Hun!" Just like throw it like up in the rafters.
And big news out of the Metropolitan: the Rangers have officially bought out Dan Girardi, or told him they're going to buy him out. Either one of those.
Plans
so he's
casino.
Gone.
Well, yeah, they didn't get old. That blue line.
I'm just
good
surprised
for many
that they went.
How many
with,
years is left on his contract?
I'm just surprised that they went with Girardi over Staal. Honestly. Because I feel like Staal
wasn't Girardi older?
I think they're both the same age. Dan Girardi is 33 years old, and he is getting paid until 2020.
That's how long his contract is?
Yeah.
Oof.
Have fun with
that six-year cap
But
hit.
Like, remember when like Staal's good through 2021, and he's 30, so he is younger.
Yeah.
But I still would have... I feel like Staal's not as good... But remember when the Rangers defense was like super badass and everybody was like, oh my God, with them and Lundqvist, all they need to do is score goals. And
they
now...
They added Rick Nash. They added Brad Richards. They added Ryan Callahan.
And now
Callahan,
it's like
Martin San Luis.
It's like all the same defensemen. And now it's just like, Jesus Christ, they're terrible. What happened?
They're absolutely awful.
Literally just, what's his face? They got punched by Wayne.
Yeah,
Simmons
Ryan McDonough playing by himself.
Little glass jaw. I got hit again this year, and I was like, look at this.
Hmm. Yeah, he went down hard.
It happens. You know, and Wayne Simmons was known to say this after he punched him and he fell.
Shut up, pussy.
It's like, Wayne, that's such a horrible thing to say to somebody, but, you know, he didn't get fined for it, thank God.
Oh.
Like somebody in the playoffs. People don't forget.
So, as the time draws closer, there's a lot of beat writers for every team on Twitter saying that like Vegas, you know, is making their deals and like, oh, we won't pick this person, you know, until after we'll leave this person on the table, or like, we won't try to poach your free agents if you do this for us. And the NHL, I think, has come out and told like Las Vegas, listen, if you're going to do this stuff, don't tell anyone about it until after the expansion.
There's collusion afoot.
But from what I can tell, Vegas has been very busy talking to probably everybody.
Okay.
There is absolutely no way that they're going to keep that information from leaking.
I mean, they're trying. As it gets closer, probably not. There's no way they could.
Look at the NFL free agency. They have like the tampering period where it's supposed to be like a full like 24 to 48 hours where it's just like people like negotiating with free agents. But literally every person, like Adam Schefter and like Ian Rappaport, just have like inside like avenues to announce like who's going where.
Yeah,
I was amazed how they just have like a million phones as guys are calling like, this is happening, this is going on.
Well,
we have Eklund in the NHL world. Yeah. E5, so that works.
Well, it's like the Jordan Wheel thing. So like, it's been picking up steam kind of, but Carcetti said that they've got to the amount of years that they can agree on, but they haven't got to terms of salary yet. Now, will they sign Wheel before the expansion draft, or do they have a deal with Vegas that they won't take Wheel?
It's a Wheel deal.
And then, like, we'll just wait till the fallout of the draft, and then Hextall can pay, like, hey, maybe they take Matt Reed, and then $3 million gets freed up. So they give Wheel, like, two, you know?
Maybe I'll stop having fish oil burps right now. It really tastes
weird. That's disgusting.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, it's,
probably should have ate something more with that.
I did eat with it. After I ate a meal and I had it.
Oh.
I ate a meal.
A full meal or like a yogurt?
It was a college meal because I had to get ready for the early podcast night because Joe was calling in from the West Coast. I had bought some buffalo chicken tenders in the freezer and I heated them up with some rice and beans.
And some ramen.
And beans.
No, just rice and beans. No, it wasn't totally college. The chicken's not horrible for you. They're just regular chicken tenders with like buffalo. It's not like horribly like fat fried ones, but they definitely... they weren't like a full meal, I guess. So, yeah, that's why the fish oil burps. In case you're wondering what Drew's eating, call, 1-800-PUCKHEAD. Just kidding.
Which, I don't know if we can play it, but someone did call 1-800.
Not really 1-800-PUCKHEAD.
Yeah.
So,
I wish it was 1-800-PUCKHEAD.
856-347-PUCK.
Yes. So that's our voicemail. And someone called in.
We
and also
just make it 856-PUCK,
I tried. I really did. I tried 609. I tried 215. I tried, like, Minnesota area codes.
Oh, you get it. Like,
Minnesota, don't you know?
Yeah, reach Gordon Bombay.
So we offered it up there, and we did get one of these calls in here. And also, I want to use this person as example. When you call, say your name, asshole. We don't know who you are.
Yeah, we can't thank you.
I don't have voice
thank
recognition
you,
software.
Anonymous.
Yeah, so thank you, dipshit, who sent this one in. This was supposed to be a fan fiction trade, I believe.
Oh, boy.
And he says the year and
this
what he wants to do.
This is actually my voicemail.
Is it really? Because no. I looked at the number. I'm like, whose number is this?
Yeah, it's not a number we recognize.
But if it's Flyers fan fiction, it's Jeff and I.
From now on, we'll let this guy go. But if you don't put your name on it again, we will sign up your number for Weight Watchers and Curves.
That's true.
And Tiger Schulman's.
Yeah.
That's what our friends just do. You want a free Tiger Schulman's?
Yeah.
And that text message thing from MTV where it sends you like jokes. Yeah, that. The frog.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that too. Yeah, 2012 called. All right. All right, here we go. There's a voicemail real quick here. Not our words, not us. We promise, we swear.
2020. Alexander Ovechkin for Claude Giroux, straight up. 2020. Alexander Ovechkin for Claude Giroux, straight up. Fuck you, Drew.
See, I'm gonna do this guy is.
Got him.
It seems like a very interesting trade on the face of it.
In the face of what, my dick? Sorry.
Well, you're going to have an even softer Giroux, worn down by age and his brittle bones, versus a Russian steroided up Alexander Ovechkin, because as soon as he starts breaking down, they'll just start pumping him full of peds like Ivan Drago.
We've seen Rocky IV. Yeah. It's a real movie. It's a documentary, basically.
Yeah. So do you want like two good years of a roided up Ovechkin over a soft, brittle, crab without its shell Claude Giroux?
Are you just trying to aggravate me?
Well, by that point, Nico's going to be number one.
You mean we're going to pick
we're getting a
fifth line winger.
Yeah, getting Rasmussen. Didn't you hear the trade, Jeff?
Well, I've seen a lot of theories. My favorite is the Devils go off the board and pick the defenseman.
Yeah.
Flyers then, pick Nico.
Nope, false.
Then
wrong.
They trade to the Stars.
Nope.
For their first round pick, and then they get Patrick too.
See, Anonymous, what you started here? All
false.
You do.
The Flyers. The Flyers at trade back, and they give up the number two pick.
Okay.
Travis Sanheim.
Seems reasonable.
To the Vancouver Canucks.
Excellent.
For the fifth pick.
Oh, and Bo Horvat, right?
And Bo Horvat.
There you go.
And with the fifth pick, you take Rasmussen.
Every time he would score, we could go, oboe, and then I could play like a solo, like a Kenny G solo if he plays an oboe.
I'm not enjoying this again.
Or the Flyers can trade the second pick and Andrew McDonald to the Vegas Knights.
Or we just shut up.
Or
their pick.
All right.
And Marc-Andre Fleury, since it's obvious that they're picking.
The Devils go off the board, pick the defenseman. The Flyers call the Stars and say, we will trade you our first round pick so you get to move one up. Take whoever you want, and Andy McDonald. They say yes. Then we're in the same position we were before, just in third instead of second. And we get rid of Andy McDonald. Boom.
I wouldn't if
book
that,
it.
If that happens, if
no.
they trade back.
Ronald, are you listening?
If they trade back after the Devils take a defenseman.
It was that his
one
real first
spot,
name? Is it Ronald?
I just assumed.
Oh, sounds so much
what
worse.
Else would it be?
Just Ron. Regular Ron. Look at that mustache right there.
Just regular Ron.
The hairy chested mustache
hey,
guy.
It's just Ron.
Just Ron, motherfucker.
You should
motherfucker.
Make that Photoshop like.
It's just Ron.
His face
son of a
over
bitch.
Like Tom Selleck and Magnum PI. It's Ron, motherfucker.
No, so wait. This Stars one. I just.
Ronnie Kaye, motherfucker.
I like this Stars theory.
Yes, it sounds nice, but...
Oh, Star Series about me, because I'm a star.
But there's no way you're getting rid of McDonald.
Yeah, that's what you think.
That's what I know.
Oh.
Who the hell is going to take him?
I don't know. The Stars. To
no,
get
there's
Nico.
There's one graveyard in the NHL, and that is the Arizona Coyotes, and they've already taken the ghost of Chris Pronger and Nicholas Grossman from us.
The ghost of Chris Pronger.
The ghost of almost winning cup past. Son of a bitch.
Yeah,
you know, like how Joe had the balls to say how much it hurt the Islanders beating them. I'm like, motherfucker, you didn't have Michael Layton in goal.
That's what I was about to say, too.
I was trying to, but there was a slight
I know how 2010.
There was a slight delay in like the talking. Yeah. It was like a little, Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So
at least the Islanders were just probably the conference finals, right? Like, they didn't have to make it all the way to the cup finals and then lose.
It was the first round, wasn't it? It was the first or second round.
I don't remember 93.
Oh, was it 93 he was talking about?
But didn't he say 93?
I think he was talking about recently. No.
I don't know.
Because he was. Didn't he say that it was when Lemieux was still playing?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't. Okay. Then, I'm sorry. Yeah. For some reason, I forgot that. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
This time next week. Well, if you're listening to this time next week, the expansion draft will be over and the Flyers will be rid of all those players they didn't want, like Andy McDonald.
Next week we will
be Dale Weiss and Matt Reed.
And they'll probably just lose they'll probably just lose either Scott Laughton or Nick Cousins.
And we will be staying up
or Raffle.
Way past our bedtime, we're going to be doing an updated show that night, so that way Thursday morning we'll be able to get all the analysis and breakdown of went down with
break-ins
the Flyers
between rounds.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. We'll do something like that.
Well, because it's that dumbass setup where like they're gonna be like, now the award, like the Hart Award, goes to Patrick Kane for not getting caught in a sex scandal again this year.
And the second runner-up Hart Award goes to the Tin Man because he wants a Hart.
Yeah, and now for Las Vegas's picks 10 through 15.
Yeah, well, we'll know more how that's gonna run next week, but it should be. I'm excited for it. This is the first time I've ever seen expansion draft since I was like 12.
Listen, there's been
so
much.
I didn't really watch it last time.
There's been so much speculation, and like the Flyers have just all this hope, and I feel like we're gonna come out of this minus like probably a Scott Laughton or like a Nick Cousins, or if they pick Delzato, I think that covers the Flyers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or if they pick Steve Mason,
that's such a weird rule.
I'm not expecting anything major.
Yeah,
I think it's to protect the players that have a lot of unrestricted free agents. That
yeah,
we don't
like
go
I don't,
after,
I don't think it's gonna like. People are expecting like all these trades to happen, and like I think you're just gonna be like, oh, remember Scott Laughton? He doesn't play here.
Oh, this is rational, Jeff. See, I like this Jeff.
I mean, you already.
I don't like him, but I like him more than the other Jeff.
You already have some like behind the scenes deals that are already happening. I mean, you're probably gonna see some because I know that, like. A few GMs are in like panic mode because they can't keep some people.
Right, or
a lot of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, the Blackhawks are kind of screwed. And there's actually been rumors that one core member of the Hawks will be on the move.
Yeah, and it's not Jonathan Toews.
Right, that's what they're saying. I think it's got to be like. Well, they're also saying Seabrook's not involved. So my guess is like Jalmerson or Hossa.
That's what I was thinking. Hossa.
You really think Jalmerson?
If they have to, maybe. Fuck you.
Asshole.
Nah. I can do it myself. Asshole.
Never gets old. You really don't think it's going to be Seabrook, though?
I've read Twitter, like the beat writers are saying that they say that it's not going to be Seabrook.
Oh, my God. Dude,
but maybe they're trying to throw you off the scent, like the old PK. We're not going to trade PK Subban. Yeah. Promise. Where's he? And then a week later.
Scott's honor.
Wink and nudge.
Yeah.
And now emoji in the text.
And now the dude from
GMs use emojis now when they're doing like trades about like you know we'll trade you
like
for
the praise emoji when
would you like
deal?
Andy McDonald tongue out winky smiley face. It's like fuck you guy.
A big turd emoji next to it with glasses. It's a classy Andy McDonald. I don't know, I'm making it up as
God
we go.
Damn it!
They just use the turd and everyone's like we don't want McDonald.
No, actually, I was just saying I just took a big shit while you were texting me about that trade. No, thanks. I will not take your broken Joe Thornton legs. Thank you very much. Would you guys take Joe Thornton if you ever came here?
For cheap.
Yeah, if he wants to sign like for like $1 million.
Like
we build up a little team around him or whatever, that'd be all right.
Dan Girardi is going to go somewhere for super cheap and be like a great third pairing defenseman.
If you have Joe Thornton as your two center going in the next year, I wouldn't be mad. I also wouldn't be mad if you could get Justin Williams on the cheap for your top left wing.
We got Filppula, though.
If they don't pay him a lot of money, yeah, why not? If Joe Thornton's knee is, like, fixed and not the
mush
pile it was.
There's no basis for this, just because I know we all like Joe Thornton. I know Joe.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like,
Jumbo Joe.
We really like Jumbo Joe.
Listen, you're going to get the people who are like, why would you sign him? He's 37 and so much money for an old man.
And then they'll be like, well, why don't you sign, like, I don't know, like, why don't you sign Connor Sheary?
But it's a year. It's like what people fail to realize. It's just like, oh, my God, you'd spend on Joe Thornton. Yeah, but it's like for a year. So if it doesn't work out.
Which is why I don't get why people are still that mad about the
Filppula
trade.
We'll be okay. Like, nobody needs to.
Filppula trade was genius.
Hextall doesn't need to dole out big money this year yet. You might have to pay like one or two people.
Did someone say my name, Bob Dole?
But like, we got Hextall has cap space.
Don't worry. Like, he can take a risk on some guy.
And sell the Caps once all their players.
You might see.
Plus, look at, like, I mean, we've talked about this a million times before, but, like, everybody says the Flyers need a left scoring winger. Who the hell is available right now that is a scoring left winger?
Marian Hossa. So here's the new plan.
Oh, my God.
We trade the second pick to. We use 17 of our later round picks in a package.
Oh, my God.
No, the Flyers have so many picks.
They have 11.
I also saw Zach Rinaldo was not tendered an offer by the Bruins.
Zach Rinaldo?
Which further goes to Hextall's trade to get a third rounder for him.
No.
Huzzah. Go, Hextall.
Yeah, that I'll still never understand how he managed that.
They had to replace Milan Lucic.
With so Zach Rinaldo.
They got a shorter,
one goal
less
in like 135
games. Tripled Lucic's penalty minute output in way less games. Come on.
To be fair,
it was a steal at that bargain.
Has anyone been suspended at the NHL level, got sent down to the AHL before serving his suspension, and then get suspended in the AHL too? I don't think so.
I mean,
does he still have to serve his NHL suspension if he ever comes back up?
Yes.
That's
what we're trying
hilarious.
To say. It's like that's awesome.
I don't know if he's ever been back after that, has he?
I don't think so.
I don't even think they like brought him up to set him on the bench just to like
back?
Ride out the games.
Will he ever come back and just like take the salary forfeiture, I guess? There has to be something.
Well, if you believe Twitter, he'll be back with the Flyers. They're going to sign him after the expansion draft for the league minimum.
If I believe Twitter, I'd be a dumb motherfucker. So I don't know if...
I don't know, man. Twitter's got some hot takes.
Yeah, he'll be replacing... he'll be replacing Mike Vecchione on the fourth line.
I just can't wait until the expansion draft's over. And then there's only speculation going into free agency because there's no good free agents coming up.
I just
can't
wait till my life is over.
Like the 2-day break of everybody freaking out over the draft.
Well, yeah.
But then, yes. Then it's like another week of everybody freaking out about free agents.
Yeah.
Which the Flyers obviously aren't going to sign anybody of importance.
Hextall never does. There's no one really for them to sign.
We said,
I don't think.
TJ Oshie. That would be the only person, but he'd be way too expensive and he's not a scoring left winger. He's a playmaker. Boom.
All right.
Roasted.
It hurts. Anyway, Jeff, speaking of which, do you have anything to know what time it is right now?
Oh, yes, I do.
You do?
Yes,
good,
sir.
It's 8:02. Just kidding, guys. Do you even know what time it is? Do you guys even know? I do.
It's time for...
Dibba-doo-bop-bop. Tweet of the week. Yeah!
That's right, it's Tweet of the Week, everybody. The time of the week where you, the person on Twitter, is listening to the show, tweet something. We find it funny, interesting, or just kind of cool to talk about. We bring it on the show and talk. So this week, Jeff, what's our Tweet of the Week?
All right, this week's Tweet of the Week comes from Jeff Vallette, who is the managing editor at LeafsNation.com, and he tweeted, "Hard not to be excited for next year. Canucks are going to make history. No team has ever finished 31st before."
Oh,
got
them.
Yeah, they stink.
I get it because they're adding a whole other team, the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
And the Canucks are bad hot hockey sports.
Clever, a diss, and throwing shade all in one. That was your
Tweet of the Week. Yeah!
Should we change the name to Tweet of the Week of the Week? Tweet of the Week this week?
Yeah.
Tweet of the Week this week?
Did you ever see the Aqua Teen skit they used to do with Carl? He used to do like football picks, and he's like, "This is my Stone Cold Lock of the Century of the Week."
That's what we should do. Anyway, also, because we're winding down, it's episode 95 tonight, and I'd be remiss without playing you the one of the last official Broad Street Bully Song of the Weeks. There may be more in the future, but after episode 100, I think I'm going to retire.
You can't retire. Just don't do them as elaborately as you've been doing them.
But after Master of Puppets, I felt like I had set a bar too high.
You have
high.
To just go back to just shoehorning the worst things possible.
It is true, but then you run out of songs.
Well, obviously you do because you don't know music.
Oh,
we run out of songs, ooh baby, oh them songs. See, Jeff, it just comes off the dome.
Damn it.
This is how we're doing. All right, anyway, this one going back to the '90s R&B era where everything was cool and pants were big and FUBU was a company.
They still come.
All things in time, time will reveal.
Is Casey and JoJo?
Yes.
One minute dream come true. Two, don't want to trade your room. Three, dude, it's plain to see. He's the one to wear the C. Four, listening to Broad Street Bully.
95,
not 93.
At 100, my work here will be done. Thank you all, it's been real fun.
It's Brian McKnight.
Just answer my question.
Hip hop Drew, apparently.
That's R&B.
Smooth.
Jesus.
Listen, I'm not down with music. You said it yourself.
Oh, thank God you didn't make the rhyme word. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Jeff. Not down with anyway.
Oh, I get it. That's offensive.
It would have been. So I thought, I'm like, Jeff, Jesus.
Yeah, you already had one slip.
We're not that other podcast that hates gay people. Jeez, you know? No, it's name names here. But anyway, Podcast Wars. So, yeah, it's my song of the week this week, and that's pretty much it for me. Do you guys have anything else to add? I think that's been a good week of hockey. I also want to thank, again, I know we've mentioned many times, but go check out Joe Barnick's Puck Off Podcast. If you like hockey, it's definitely fun. I know some of you guys that listen to us listen to that as well. And if you are a fan of Joe Barnick's, came over to our show, thanks for listening to that as well.
Yes, at Puck Off Podcast on Twitter, yeah. And then Joe is at Joe Barnick.
Of course. So, and if you're out in L.A., check him out. He's going to be with the very wonderful Rich Voss, and then also headlining
Rich Voss.
At the Punchline. That's not what he sounds like, but it could be misconstrued as Rich Voss.
That's weird. It's a weird sounding.
Here's the thing. That's what it more is. Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that he does. I have no basis to make fun of him. He's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
More he's successful than I ever will be. I'm just sitting here sweating in a loft doing a podcast.
That is true. It is kind of hot up here.
Yeah, it is really hot.
Well, that's why we're going to end the show right now. We're in the AC and party with the boys. All right, guys. I want to thank everyone for listening.
With the boys.
That's what we're going to do. We're normie memes now. And don't forget. June 23rd, RMAX Public House in Oakland, New Jersey. Free comedy show, all-star naked comedy all night. Going to be very fun. And June 27th, Helium Comedy Club. Come check me out. I got a lot of people coming. I'm hoping to not get robbed like last year. If not, oh well, life goes on. We will be here. But of course, before that, there is next week. We have our wonderful expansion draft / awards night show. And maybe we'll get drunk. Maybe we won't. But either way, I'm looking forward to it. That's the night before last day of school for me. So I'm pretty pumped for that.
Oh boy.
And I'll have plenty of stories this summer, guys, because this guy's been driving for Uber. So.
Are you going to play?
You're going to do an Uber driving, huh?
I already got hired, yeah. I'm waiting for my shit to come in the mail tomorrow.
Oh, dude, I'm just going to force you to Uber me everywhere.
That's true.
As long as you use the refer a friend thing, I'll get money just for referring you. So I'm like, hey, dude, you'll get like a free ride or some shit.
Just make you Uber me to work
everywhere. No, like you have to actually go through the app. You can't just like say, hey, dude, I'm calling an Uber. Like, no, just you're calling your friend Drew right now. I'm off the clock.
Oh, no, like if we were out together, I would just call Uber and be like,
I demand.
And I would
Drew.
Send an email. I'd be like, Drew's not picking me up.
Drew is drunk next to you. We have all his information and vital statistics because we're Uber. We're an evil fucking company. Just kidding. I love you guys. Thanks for hiring me, but Lyft hired me too. So,
you're driving for both.
Yeah, that's right.
What a conflict of interest that is.
Yeah. You like that? I'm like US and I'm the USA in the first World War.
Are it's you like, gonna be like
both
like,
sides here? Not really though.
Are you gonna be like the guy who is like, would you like a water or cement? Are you gonna be like the guy who's
a cab
driver off duty and just talks in like some kind of foreign language while he pays no attention to
me?
You?
I'm gonna tell a bunch of stories and I'm gonna put a big card holder and put the Broad Street Bully cards on the back of the
Smart.
Thing. Like, oh, hey guys, you need something like to write on? She's like, oh, what's that?
Yeah,
just
do you
some
like
business card for
dick
this
jokes
podcast. I do
hockey.
Yeah, actually, I went to the car wash today to get it ready to go for this weekend because I might do a couple of rides.
Went
this weekend.
To the car wash.
That's not how it goes. Not done. That. Never. I gave him the card or whatever. So maybe he listened. Maybe he didn't.
Sound like
so,
he was going into Under the Boardwalk.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I did like. That's not how it goes. Under the sun. It's working at the car wash.
Yeah.
Bam, working at the car wash. Yeah. Work and work. That's how it
goes. I gave out some cards at Keenan's, the President Steve broadcast. So. Yeah, maybe we got some listeners from that. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe we didn't. Or maybe we just go fuck ourselves. But if you did like the show, make sure you go subscribe, like on iTunes, give us a review, and anything else. And subscribe anywhere. But if you have iTunes or know someone with an iTunes account, just give it a 5-star rating because it's the only one that really gives a shit. No one has Android ratings anymore.
That's true.
And that's what it goes through.
Yeah.
And follow us on Twitter at the BSB Podcast, which our wonderful stinger will tell you after this. And We're always tweeting. So many tweets. So little time. Until then, we'll see you next week on the Broad Street Bully Podcast.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.